more.
So there's a love languages that you can do, quiz for children. You can do for children.
Yes.
Wow, that might be quite the tool for us to understanding the heart of our child a bit better. Here I'm giving physical touch and they don't even like that.
Right.
We want to welcome you to a new season of Mum Life Community, where we are mothers uplifting mothers. And each of the mums who join us for our discussion time, they actually spend two seasons with us. So today, we're actually welcoming six new girls. So thanks for being here, ladies, and we're going to have some fun times together. This is going to, having these mums change out and having some fresh mums joining us for our discussion times, it's going to mean that we're going to have fresh stories, new perspectives and new experiences. And so it really keeps everything so fresh. But we also want to welcome our sweet friend who's listening. Thank you for being here with us. I'm excited about our topic today because I believe it's actually the core of successful parenting. And it's understanding the heart of your child. I'm your co-host, Helen Smallbone.
And I'm Heather Houlet. You know, learning to understand the heart of your child is not easy, Helen.
No.
And it won't happen overnight.
I think it takes a lot of time.
That, right? Yes. It will definitely require intentionality for sure. And, you know, in essence, it means developing a heart connection with your child where you're able to just be vulnerable with each other. And I believe that this understanding is built by sharing meaningful times and experiences with each other.
And I just want to explain a little more what we mean by the heart, understanding the heart of your child. It's really a mix of both their mind and their will. Yeah. It's really the place where we feel and where we store up our hurts. Mm. The heart is the source of what drives us in our behavior, and it makes us uniquely us. The Bible addresses the importance of the heart. In Proverbs 4:23, it reminds us to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, like, I love that verse.
It's so meaningful. And then in 1 Samuel 16:7, it tells the importance of the heart again. And it says, people judge by outward appearance, and we're all at fault with that, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yeah, I love that verse. And everything we do flows from
our hearts
and how important that is. And, you know, understanding a child's heart is hard because it does take time, a lot of time, and it requires you to be present in the moments. And it means that we see the look of hurt when they're teased sometimes, the frustration when they get left out, and the insecurity when another child is praised and your child is not.
No.
Right?
And I've seen that look over my kids' faces. Mm-hmm. To know the heart of your child means you actually become a student of your child by observing them. Mm. And through this intentional time, and it has to be intentional, you'll understand their strengths, their weaknesses, their likes, their dislikes, personality, needs, what motivates them and what comforts them. And God made each child unique, and they're not necessarily going to think or act like me or you, and that's okay.
Yes, it is okay. It's actually special when they do come into who they are and us understanding that of who they are, which is often different from us. And understanding your child requires good communication, where you as a mom don't do as much talking, but more of the listening. It's important to create a time and a space that can become a great time of just talking and listening together. Often I found a child won't want to chat right away when you pick them up from school or they come in off the bus. But to just give them some time to settle in, I find that some of the best conversations are just lying in bed with them at night and just being. Yeah. They're relaxed, they're open, and they're just being who they are, and you're just laying with them and being who you are. And it just creates a space of, I think, comfort and security for them. When you have deeper conversations, it's important also to listen with no judgment or criticism so that a child feels safe to share with you about absolutely anything. And often this can be done, you know, when you're doing a task together, whether you're driving in the car together, playing ball or building Legos, baking a cake. My kids love to bake. If they see me baking, they want to help. And that's a special time that we share together, or drawing together. But spending one-on-one time with each of your children doing something they love really opens their heart.
learning to look beyond their behavior to the matters of the heart. Mm. It's so often easy for us just to see a child acting out and not trying to think about, well, what's actually causing this behavior. I have a statement that says negative attention is better than no attention. If a child's acting out, there might be underlying causes, and I've seen this lived out in my own kids. So I encourage you to look for these causes. It could be a new child in the family, and they're having to share mum. And then that happened a lot with us because we had seven kids. So, you know, they had to adjust to new lives and new scenarios quite a bit. They might be being picked on at school and came home tense and irritable. When our oldest daughter started school, and I know some of you mums here have got kids who have just started school, she actually would come home in tears and very tense. Mm. This happened so repeatedly over a period of weeks, and it didn't seem to settle down, that eventually we actually changed schools because we felt that the school was too harsh an environment for what her sensitive spirit was. So you could be picking up tensions coming from in your home that even the kids don't even know how to express. They don't even know what's causing it. They're just tense. And there can be a bunch of reasons for children to deteriorate in their behavior.
Mm, so true. And there are two much needed tools to keep in your parenting toolbox to increase connection to your child. And those are laughter and physical touch. A good laugh unites us for sure, right? And it can definitely dissolve a lot of tension. So keep a sense of humor. It's so important. And physical touch is a powerful way of connecting with your kids. We seem to do this well with the younger children, but get more uncomfortable as we forget with the older children to do that, you know? And I'll just share, you know, there's one of those nights, and I'm sure you can relate. Maybe you can't, but I was sitting there watching the Instagram reels of this thing where you reach out your hand and see what your child does in response. And I did that with my children. And, you know, my 12-year-old who's in middle school now, who we don't generally hold hands when we're walking anywhere, we were driving in the car and I just put my hand out and he reached over and just put his hand in mine as if that's what we do. And he held it. And it was the sweetest thing. And I know it meant something to him, but just to see his reaction in that. And then my other son did the same thing. We were walking and I just put out my hand and he held it. And I thought, how much do they need that, that I don't realize they need it as they're getting older? Just those little things. It assures them. It gives them a confidence. So don't forget the power of touch.
Really good point. And another important aspect of staying connected to your child, and I think this is really vital, is asking for forgiveness and praying together. And I saw this in one of our kids. He was 10 at the time, and I remember he came home from school, and it's funny how you have spats with with family members. You don't remember what caused it, but you actually remember the argument or whatever. And I remember he was so angry at me that he stormed off down to his room and slammed the door. And we don't slam doors, but when he slammed that door, I saw red, and I had to actually leave and calm down and just get myself back into control before I went down there. And when I approached him, I ended up saying, "I'm sorry you're mad at me." And of course, he wouldn't look at me. He just didn't want to know that I existed. And I said, "And you probably don't like me at the moment. And frankly, I'm a pretty honest person." And I said, "And I don't particularly like you at the moment either. But we love one another and we're going to act on the love and not the like." And I said, "Come and give me a hug." And so he came over eventually and he hugged me and we both ended up crying and we prayed together. That incident makes me, you know, it's crazy how we have these incidents and it can still bring emotions. But that incident changed our relationship because I remember it so vitally because we actually took each other into a deeper place. And I've got to really, it reminded me that resolved conflict leads to intimacy. And there's great power in saying sorry and praying together because it connects us to one another at that deep heart level. And it could have been, that incident could have ended so differently. You know what I mean? It could have ended with us being angry at one another and it would have pulled away from our relationship. So in closing, a child who feels understood, they'll accept discipline from you as a parent, as in they know it's being done from a position of love and for their own good. Discipline without a deep heart connection to your child can be received by them as harshness, as being a bit cruel, as punishment. It can become just a set of rules to be obeyed, and it may not even, at the end of the day, impact their behaviour. It may even lead to a hardening of the child's heart. So a lot of good That's stuff good. There,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is. And I love what you said about saying sorry, because it's so important. You know, I've had to do that several times. But it's so rewarding as the parent to be able to model walking in humility to your children, because you're building that relationship, but you're also modeling something very special for them. And on the flip side, when a parent doesn't say sorry, it can build a wall and lead to resentment, which I believe often leads to rebellion in the child. So I know our moms here are going to have some interesting stories to share with us on how they have established heart connections to their children, or maybe where they're still struggling in this area. Ladies, so lovely to have you join us today.
So welcome. This, I think, is always a special time for me as we hear how God works in each of our own lives and how he is still working. None of us are perfect. We've all definitely made a bunch of mistakes, and I think mums, as a general rule, know the mistakes that they have made. They see their own inadequacies. So, ladies, do you feel you've established a heart connection with your children, and it may be one that you find still hard and you're working on, or are you still struggling with this?
I'll start. So I have four right now, with one on the way. But with my oldest daughter, she actually had come from a previous marriage, with my husband's previous marriage. And so trying to establish a heart connection with her was a little different.
Now, how old was she when she came to be in your family?
She was 7 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. And she knew about me. We had been in each other's lives, knowing but not seeing, for about 2 years.
Okay.
So she knew about me, but meeting each other, it was very different and very difficult.
But and having you live in a home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, takes it to another level.
Yes. And we didn't have her all the time. So when we did have her, it was a lot of fun. Thankfully, I was a little bit younger. And so we could, establish a fun connection that way. And then once my husband and I actually got married, we kind of changed into we have to establish this, in a sense, a mom-daughter relationship. Uh-huh. And so trying to establish a different connection in that way, it was difficult, but we just doing different things that she liked to do, and then helping her to understand that it's not always going to be about her, but to just like that, it's that give and take of this is who I am. Let me show you a little bit of who I am, and let me see who you are. Because it's like getting to know somebody you never had a relationship with. But with our children together, my husband and I, our son, our oldest son, he's like the big sweetheart. So establishing a heart connection with him was always easy, because he's just, that's what he wants to give his whole heart. So he was easy. It's the daughter. My youngest daughter, she's my little firecracker that I'm still working on. But I'm starting to slowly realize how to speak her language. And she loves to make little cards and spend time. She just wants to be around me. But it's difficult because she's just such a little spitfire. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, do you really want me around? So that one I'm still working on. But it's been interesting trying to figure her out, just because of how different she is from all of the other kids. So I'm still working on that one. My youngest one, I mean, he's only one. So he just wants to play.
And Helen, I love what you said earlier about you're a student. You're learning your child. And that's where I'm at right now. I mean, my older daughter, she's 14, just started high school, and we butt heads a lot. We butt heads.
She like you?
She's very much like me. Very much like me. And I know that from my past growing up, I'm seeing some things in her that I don't necessarily like, and I want to try to change her. But because I know I'm a student, I have to give it time.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
How old is she now?
She's 14.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so right. So she's just becoming a teenager, starting high school. And over the years, I've learned to become more of an extrovert, and she's an introvert right now. And so some of the things that she does, I'm like, oh, come on, like, you know better. And so I have to hold myself back and just know, okay, she's going to grow into who's God made her. And I just have to let her become who she is and not me. And that's that's been the struggle for me. It's like, why am I trying to push myself on her?
Thanks, that's good.
Yeah. I struggle with finding that heart connection, I think, with my son, definitely more than my daughter. My son was always the child that I wondered, does he like me? He never wanted me to hold him, or not. It was hard to bond with him.
Even as a baby.
Even as a baby. He wouldn't even let me, like, sit him in my lap for, you know, for over 5 minutes. He wants to jump down. He can't even walk, and he wants to just get down. And so it was hard to find a bond. I always felt like we were close because he came out of me, but and I feel like I remember when he was first born, I looked into his eyes and I said, I see my eyes in him. So I felt an instant connection, but he's we've struggled with bonding. And even to today,
how old is he now?
He's 14.
Oh wow, I'm not the 14-year-old.
And because he's the opposite sex too, it's like learning. And I feel like we're so much alike. And that's the reason why I feel like I have a connection with him. But we bump heads because we are so much alike. But discovering, like, his heart. And I know, I remember the first time I saw him play with friends. You know, you learn something new about your child, right? You're like, oh, my God, we have to work on that. but, I mean, you learn as they grow. And he's 14 now, but he's the type that I have to pry everything out of, you know? Every single day, he comes home from school. And how's your day? Good. That's all I hear every day. And I'm trying constantly to ask him different questions, to pull stuff out of him. So it's just hard to, when you don't have one that is extroverted or talks to you, it's pretty hard to find that.
Have you found an area, like doing something together with him where it relaxes him more and he is, you know, a joint task, whether it that might relax him more to enable him to share more?
So I just like to try to just talk to him. You know what I mean? Just go hang out in his room. We talked about this, actually, apologizing to your children. Those are the moments that bring us closest together. Because I have so many times where I am running to apologize. I'm quick at reacting, and then I feel bad. Like, that was not for him. That was that did not all come from his behavior. That was some stuff that I was hoarding. Some frustration I had built up from somewhere else, and I just lashed it all out on him. And I would go back and I would apologize to him calmly. And then those are the times that we would talk and grow our relationship.
Well done, Nina. I think that how often as mums we take our frustration out. I mean, I'm still doing it now. You know, I get tired. And I'll either have my husband or our oldest daughter lives, youngest daughter still lives with us, and shortly, like, wow, what's happened in your day today? And I'm like, I'm out here. So, yeah, we're very, very human.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. I have three kiddos, and my oldest, I have had the most challenges with him, even from a young age, very strong-willed personality. And we are a lot alike in many ways, too. And so I feel like with him, I've had the most frustrating moments with him, but I've also cried with him the most. I've asked him for forgiveness regularly. And to this day, we have we do have a very sweet, sweet relationship. And I think it's because in those moments of really just praying through it a whole lot, because there was a time where my husband and I both were like, we need to seek counsel. And so we talked to some people about it. And he has ADHD and OCD, and I have OCD. So we can relate to a lot of daily struggles that we have that my younger two are not battling with in the same way. And so with that, though, it's also led to so many conversations about the gospel and our dependency on Jesus. And I see this dependency that he has. So he's a believer and he's 10. And I see this dependency that he has on the Lord because of those constant things that he deals with in school or at home, those struggles. And he's asked, Mom, why do I have this? Why do I have to go through this? And so we've prayed about it. We've talked about it together. And times where he has sinned against me or I've sinned against him, I have just seen the Lord use that to deepen our relationship. And I have, those are like big words in my house, like, will you forgive me? Not just saying I'm sorry, but saying what you're sorry for. And then the three words that I say, you know, I forgive you, the three words that they say. And so we're doing that. And I think we have to model that, like you were saying, Heather, because that is what Jesus did for us. And I'm just, so a lot of times we just always bring it back to that, what Jesus did for us on the cross, because we're so desperate for him. And so I'm really seeing the work of the Lord, and I'm grateful to that because there were many, many years where it was hard. And we still have that, but we're in a much better place now. And I think because we were open and we, there are moments where pride comes in and I'm like, no, I'm his mother. I get offended when he is, when he sins against me. But sometimes in our feeling of being so offended, then I believe that we sin in our anger against them because we're like, how could my child treat me like this? How could he do this? And I think that those lead to holy moments, those hard holy moments.
I love
and
the so, holy moments.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. We've had a lot of those. And so I'm grateful for the work of the Lord in his heart and in our in my heart.
It's great.
I think it's a beautiful thing to talk about forgiveness in your home. Forgiveness is hard, right? You're like, I want to forgive this person, but how do you really do it? And then we do go back to how Jesus forgives us. And we can always reference that with our kids and what an example of ultimate forgiveness we have every day. But I think it's so important to ask yes as parents and to continue being a student. I have, I also have a blended family. So I have a stepdaughter who's 13 and I have a son who's 10 and then we have a toddler who's 2. But my older two, a couple years ago, I was like, I'm going to take this little love languages quiz for you guys. It was like a snow day. I was like, I've got this. You're physical touch and you are words of affirmation. Okay, but y'all take this quiz and let's just see where it comes back. And it's like the Lord hit me upside the head. He's like, nope, that is not what they are.
Wow.
I was really wrong on what I thought their love languages were.
So there's a love languages that you can do, quiz for children. You can do for children.
Yes.
Wow, that might be quite the tool for us to understanding the heart of our child a bit better. Here I'm giving physical touch and they don't even like that.
Right. Right. But both of them, number one and number two, it'll rank them. And it was quality time. And I thought, we need to really focus on this. I am words of affirmation and gifts of all things. So I think I portrayed what I thought my love language was on them. And they're like, we just want to be together, whether it's playing a board game or, you know, not my favorite thing, but I do it for them. And so that was just really eye-opening for me, just learning about their little love languages. And that is a really great tool. If you are struggling, I think that's a good resource to turn to.
Thank you for suggesting that, Dana. That's really good. All right, I'm going to go on to the next question here. The statement, discipline without a heart connection to your child can be received as harshness. How do you respond to this statement in your family?
I mean, discipline is to disciple them. We're discipling their hearts. So I don't even think you are disciplining until there's a heart connection. There could be punishment or consequences or all of these things, but to be discipling starts with the heart of the child to discipline them. We're a blended family as well. I have three stepdaughters who are now all out of the house. And then we've got three that are 17, almost 15, and 9. And what works for one does not work for the other. And so it's going to look different and it's going to be unique. And sometimes, you know, two of the other kids might be looking at how I'm handling the situation with one and they're like, you know, upset. Like they want justice. justice and they are the enforcers. And I have to remind them, like, no, that's not what they need. And so it's
takes a lot of really seeking the Lord. And there are a lot of times where what I think I want to do, the Lord will just stop me in my tracks and say, no, that's not what they need right now. And my daughter got caught in a lie this week. And there were several ways that I could have gone to really make her feel the impact of...
maybe even feel shame.
Yeah, of that decision. And that's what I told my husband. I started to pick up that she was feeling shame. And I told my husband, like, I don't want to shame her. Like, I could tell instantly that she understood the gravity of what had happened. And I told her that trust has been broken. And for her, just knowing that the next time she goes to tell me something, I'm going to question it. That was enough for her. She didn't need... anything beyond that. And my husband kept wanting to bring it up and talk to him. Like, it's okay. She understands. We understand. We don't want to shame her. Where with, you know, one of my boys, I might need to really implement a consequence that's going to leave it sitting a little bit longer, give them more time to think about it. It's definitely just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and knowing.
And Janice, I think any time we show grace in those circumstances where we do pick up that the child understands what they've done and has, I don't know, even sorry, they've gone through sort of the sorry, sort of repentance, whatever. But when we can show grace in that scenario, we're really being an example or a model of what God does for us. And I think it's a very holy moment, again, just as it is when we do ask for, say sorry and ask for forgiveness.
I think that's the biggest question of parenting and discipling your kids. When do I put my foot down and when do I show grace? And asking God for the wisdom and the discernment, you know, for those times, because it can be the same situation two times in a row, but different, you know, you have to respond to in different ways depending on your child or the situation or, you know, so I think it's a lot of it has to do with leaning on the Holy Spirit and asking him for wisdom in that. Another part of it is our kids will never hear what we have to say if they don't feel safe, if they don't feel emotionally safe. I mean, they can't even hear I love you if they don't feel safe. And so that really is the foundation to, you know, connecting with their heart is this a place where I can share what I'm feeling without being, you know, yelled at or immediately cut down, or, you know, can I be who I am here? Am I safe? Is it a safe place for me? And then, you know, that builds, building upon that is just, am I loved? Am I loved here? And there's a really awesome family counseling people that I follow, and that's kind of like their protocol. It's, you know, does the child feel safe? Do they feel loved? And then the next thing that you build upon is that they are called and capable, and you pour that into them, that they are able to be who they are and who God has called them to be. And then they can be responsible for their actions. So it's a whole foundation that leads up to that, to be able to connect with their heart and to discipline them in a Christ-like way.
Good insight. Thanks, Jessica.
I think we had a situation last school year with our oldest, who is very much like me, very well behaved for the most part, people pleaser. And we got a call from school that, like, she was in big trouble. And we were both like, what could she have done? Like,
she's a good girl.
She is. Like, she never wants to get in trouble. Like, just, you know, never wants to get the teacher to, you know, pick on her, you know, like call her out on something. And so we talked to the principal, and it turned out that she had, like, kind of helped a friend. Like, a friend had looked at her for answers on a quiz. And, you know, you still don't know for exactly how it went down or, you know, if she understood, but she was mortified. You know, it's kind of like what you're saying, like with the shame. It's like she was so devastated about getting in trouble, and like, that was enough. Like, she was so just, you know, her heart was broken that, like, that this was happening and that she was in trouble and was all that. And so kind of the same thing, like, I think we did ground her and obviously took away, like, any devices and stuff, but just kind of learning their heart and just knowing that, like, she was devastated. Like, her heart was broken that, then that was enough for her. You know, we didn't have to, do anything drastic. But I remember going to other moms and be like, okay, like I've never been in this situation with her. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know how to really punish her at this age. You know, she's 12. So it's not like, it's a little different now that she's older and just kind of figuring out how do you punish her. But I knew that she already was punishing herself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she had already been hard on herself. So, but we knew we had to do something, but it's still hard. Yeah.
I think our culture makes it hard because if we're really honest, in our culture, we're not allowed to ever be wrong. You're not allowed to be wrong, which what that leads to shame, lying, hiding. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of say it jokingly to everyone in our house, but I'll say this is a safe place to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Huh. And when we like get to a place where our kids can be wrong sometimes, I can be wrong sometimes, my husband can be wrong sometimes, and where it's safe to be wrong and then you learn from it and grow from it, it kind of changes the atmosphere and it changes how you approach things. Like, we don't need to get into a fight over this. Like, it's okay to be wrong. Mm. And I haven't, this year has been the first year that I've really started to focus on that. Like, why do we get into an argument with our spouse? Because one of us has to be right and one of us has to be wrong. You know, but we could both be wrong or we could both be right. And, but it's okay to be, you know, wrong, but always met with grace. And so I've really been just trying just in the last few months to like, and I'll tell my kids, it's okay. You can totally be wrong and I will still love you mm-hmm. and we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of impacted how I've started approaching discipline.
Has it impacted the kids?
I've seen a change. Like we can be light about it. Mm. Every little
mess up.
Which
is bringing in that sense of humor.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. If you catch yourself in a mistake, your reaction shouldn't be like, oh, I don't want anyone to know. Mm-hmm. That's what the enemy does. Mm-hmm. And then he brings in shame and then all the sin that come with it. And so I want my kids to get to a place where they don't even feel that when they're wrong. I mean, I want them to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But if they make a mistake, I want them to be... I can bring this to my mom mm-hmm. or I can bring this to my mm-hmm. dad and
my
we can
place.
Work through it. Yeah. And so I say it joking, but it's serious. It's safe to be wrong. Like yeah. you can totally make a mistake.
And they know good there's point. Forgiveness.
Yeah. And continued love. Because I think sometimes when we do wrong, mm-hmm. we think someone won't love us or they'll view right. us in a different right. way. Right. And so that brings in the shame or the hide. No, I don't want people, the masks. It actually, yeah. for adults, yeah. it's the actually mask. What brings in the masks,
sure. yeah, absolutely.
Where we don't want to be seen, yeah. where we don't want to be known, because if people actually saw us, they might not like us. Mm-hmm. And that yeah. brings in the masks. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. Gosh.
I love this question, Helen, because if you really think about it, you know, you ask discipline without a heart connection to your child can be received as harshness. Mm. And if you really look at it, and you look at your life, you look at your children, and you think, if there is a genuine heart connection, discipline should be easy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So to be able to say to your child, I'm really disappointed, should have an impact on them, mm-hmm. right?
Agreed.
If there is a true Agreed. And authentic heart connection, for them to know that you're disappointed with them, mm-hmm. like that should be enough to
So there is
their
no
world.
Need for
there
harshness.
There is no need for harshness.
Because it grieves
when
their
there's
heart.
A genuine yes. heart connection, it grieves yes. their heart. Yes.
And that's possibly a great way to monitor how much heart connection mm-hmm. you have with your child
yeah.
as to whether they do need to, whether they can acknowledge their wrong,
yeah.
their mistake, their own culpability
right.
with a softness instead of there having to be some sort yeah. of harsh punishment.
Because yeah. okay. if your child doesn't care if you're disappointed in them or not, then obviously right. there's a problem. The heart connection is not there.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah. Good point, Heather.
Like how the Lord disciplines us
yeah.
in such a beautiful way like that, mm-hmm. that we're called to do that as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we're sinners. And yeah. so, but we have to repent of that. Mm-hmm. And you're right. We have to be praying about that and asking the Holy Spirit to help us, because that's when that beautiful discipline comes, just like the Lord does with us. Doesn't always feel good.
No. Mm-hmm.
But we know that is the most beautiful right. thing that the Lord
or there's
can
a check
do.
In our spirit.
That's right.
When we know, have we disappointed the Lord? Have yeah. we done something that we shouldn't have?
Great, great.
Well, yeah. Scripture says, you know, if you love me, you'll do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. You do it because you love him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why we have to focus on our relationship over rules, because mm-hmm. if the kids don't feel mm-hmm. loved, or if they, you know, they're not going to do what you ask right. them to do, because mm-hmm. that relationship isn't there.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Wow, ladies, deep stuff. Mm-hmm. Well done. That's really good. I think that challenges and grows each of us and gives us greater confidence in moving forward, in building that heart relationship with our kids. All right, last question. At what age do you feel that you've established this heart connection, or what age do you really feel you, like, when does this all kick in? Like, we've talked about teenagers, and that's a time when it might be challenged. But, you know, we've got varying in ages of active mothering here. What age do you feel you're really establishing that heart connection with your child?
I think it's a constant, continual work.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my oldest is 17, and from about, like, 9 to 12, he felt like an alien. Mm-hmm. I felt so disconnected from him. And we had been so close leading up to that.
Mm.
And so with my second boy, as he came up, I kind of was more prepared, you know, to be more intentional with him. I didn't want to feel that disconnect. And it was work in that same age period, you know, time
frame.
So
you found you get a disconnect from 9 to 12,
That's
Janice.
What I really felt. There was like something was shifting in them, and it was making what had always worked before to feel connected, not what was necessary in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be way more intentional. That's where they seemed to get more quiet, more pulled into themselves. And both of them came to the other side. But it's always changing. What worked with my son at 5 to keep me connected to him is not going to work at 16. Mm-hmm. So you're, like you said, being a student, they're growing and changing, and you have to grow and change with them.
Mothering's not for the faint-hearted, is it, ladies?
I think establishing it early on, though, is very important from the get-go, right? Because, you know, in our family, our oldest, he came to me at the age of 10 with a trauma background, and it was a very different, I had to work a lot harder, and it was a very different experience trying to establish a heart connection with somebody rather than growing that heart connection from the beginning. It was very different, and it was very hard to do. And it was, you know, like Janice said, different. Every child's different, you know, and you have to do that different. But even with our others, even though they are different, the heart connection was, I didn't have to do different things, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Each child, the heart connection was the same as far as growing them. It wasn't like, oh, this one's not connecting, I got to do something different. It was, it grew from birth, and you just kind of go with your child. But, you know, having someone come to you that has trauma and you think, oh, I just need to love them to death, you know? And it's like, no, there's a lot more work to be done to establish a heart connection at that point with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I feel right now, honestly, I'm struggling through that with my 14-year-old starting high school, and just I'm trying my best to be very intentional, because she is a quality. That's her love language, because we also did that love language quiz, and that's her thing. Just connect, like having that connection there is, you know, we have our time together at nights, but trying to connect with her on a level where she can just, she can be herself, but yet like open herself up to me is where we're having kind of a hard time right now. And I'm having a hard time connecting at this age, and her expressing what's going on throughout her day versus just a good, and, you know, so I'm struggling through that right now. 'Cause with my 12-year-old, I feel it's very easy with her right now. Like, she has a servant's heart, and she wants to do stuff for us. She leaves us notes, and like, she's just so cute in that way, you know? But with my 14-year-old, I'm just like, oh, how do I connect with her?
Have you been praying? I mean, I presume you've been praying.
Just asked God for wisdom. And
has he led you to anything that you're really trying to implement?
Spend more quality time with her.
And what would quality time look like for her?
For her? This is
I mean, that's because
this is,
you know, it doesn't necessarily look like what it would for
I
us.
Mean, it's so interesting, because like I can be like, let's go out and eat something, or we'll go out somewhere, but that's not her quality time. Like,
yeah.
She says quality time for her is just sitting on the couch watching TV together. Oh. Isn't that, like, I mean, she's 14, though, so I don't know if that, you know, just, she just wants to sit on the couch and just, I guess, just not really talk very much, and she just, that's what she considers quality or hanging out with us means to her. So I don't necessarily want to watch TV all the time because I want her to be more open and, you know, express herself, and I want to have that connection with her, but I'm trying to be intentional about kind of doing some of the things that she wants to do and praying through it. God knows I need help in that area, but that's what,
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be lots of mums who can relate to that one.
Yeah, absolutely. There is this lady in my neighborhood, and she was having a hard time connecting with her older daughter as well. And she told me that she got a journal, and she would just write a letter to her daughter, and she would put it in her bedroom, and then her daughter would write back to her. And so they would still communicate face to face, but they, and I think that's a special thing that they'll have forever. And so maybe sometimes she would feel more comfortable instead of, if she, you know, didn't want to say it in that moment face to face, but she would write some stuff down and would open up different things, things that she never realized. Then they would communicate. And that wasn't their only form of communication, but sometimes
it helped to bring a breakthrough.
Yes. And when she was in her bed at night, that daughter would just journal, and she would just write some things down. But it was a journal to her mom, so not necessarily just a personal journal, but she was writing to her mom. Mm-hmm. And then they would just go back and forth like that, and it helped open up their relationship. So I don't know, but it might.
Yeah. I do think sitting face to face with somebody intentionally, is often hard, actually. Mm-hmm. I noticed this we've just been back to Australia, and with David's mum, who's starting to have, she's 94 and having some, a little bit, I wouldn't say dementia, but just not quite as present. When we would sit down with her over a coffee, conversation was minimal because it's intentional communication. Do you get what I mean? Like, we're actually sitting face to face looking at each other, and it's sort of like, oh gosh. But when we sat in the car and we were driving along, it was incredible how much she initiated conversation. And so I sometimes wonder, that takes away the struggle, the writing of the letters takes away the struggle of face to face, of that awkwardness of, gosh, she wants me to talk, whatever. And then you just don't think of anything. I mean, you just go a bit blank. Whereas doing a task together or something that is not, this is our time to talk sort of pressure, allows everybody to relax a little more, which I think is what the letters probably did. Allow them to relax a little more. This isn't just to you. So I often think a task of doing something together is a better way of actually breaking down the blockage of communication.
Yeah. And there's power in letting them choose.
Yes.
Like, our kids are being told what to do all the time. And you know, we make decisions for them, and we, you know, decide what's for dinner. And so it's like just saying, hey, we got 15 minutes, you and me. What do you want to do?
Love that.
I mean, you can do that when they're 3, when they're 5, when they're 15. Mm. What do you want to do? And as long as it's not something that's going to hurt them, just say yes and see what happens. Because
love that, James.
You know, it doesn't have to be an hour, 15 minutes. 15 minutes, just give them. Mm-hmm. Let them choose. Mm. And I think it solves a lot of the other problems.
Yeah, that's great, Jessica. I think that's really good.
That's good.
Wow, Helen, what a special time of discussion that we've had.
Very real, very meaningful.
Yeah, it totally showed that our hearts are so very important. Mm-hmm. And keeping our hearts tender and open before God and building a deep connection with each of our children at a very special heart level. It won't happen without time, and it won't happen without patience, but it will happen.
Mm-hmm. And keeping seeking after our child's heart, I'm intrigued that a couple of the mums actually mentioned that they felt they had a heart connection and then they were losing it. We've got to maintain that as kids grow, and it's going to look different.
Yeah,
and it's going to look different as they get older.
Yep.
So wonderful conversation there. I just want to close with the verse from Proverbs 28:14 in the Message, and it reminds us, a tender-hearted person lives a blessed life. a hard-hearted person lives a hard life. And so we really need to keep those hearts tender and soft. So good. Let's just pray. Mm. Lord Jesus, you know how much we love our children and that we want the best for them. Give us wisdom each day and show us how to take the time to seek after our child's heart, that we can come to an understanding of them and that we can keep them with a soft and tender heart before you. Lord Jesus, just take our families, just use them, just touch them, give me as mum wisdom in serving them, and thank you for the blessing of each of our children, and we ask your full blessing upon their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, moms. Don't forget to subscribe now at accessmore.com or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode on Monday with the moms and Thursday with the mentors. And while you're there, drop a review. We'd love to hear from you, and be sure to uplift another mother this week.